Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is Grant and Danny. No, Granny's getting married. He's getting hitched, baby. Congratulations to my pal. So to my right is Craig Hoffman. Craig, good morning.
Good morning.
You are Craig Hoffman, correct?
That is correct.
To clarify, this person that I'm pointing at and speaking to, who just spoke a moment ago and will speak again in a second, your name is Craig Hoffman.
Yep, and my email address has 3 digits in it.
I included an email address yesterday, Thami, with only 2 digits in it. A gentleman named Chris Hoffman responded very kindly, I might add. So, Chris, wherever you are, thank you. Very
appreciate
nice of
you.
Chris said, hey, this rundown looks good. However, I think you have the wrong email.
So, in review, if this show sucks, Chris Hoffman's fault. He said the rundown was good.
Chris approved it. I then, of course, forwarded it to Craig, and we got ourselves all sorted out. So, thank you very much, Mr. Hoffman.
Which one?
You know exactly who I meant. Highly professional over here in this radio program. Got a good one for you today. My buddy Andrew Sharp, SI, will join us at 11, talk trade deadline. Howard Beck will do the same at 1 p.m. We got to talk Jimmy Garoppolo's contract. Ted Leonsis doing a good thing.
Yes.
We point out when things are not good. We point out when things are good. So pay attention. I know a lot of people over there sometimes get irritated, think all we do is say negative things. 12:18, I will be complimenting Monumental Sports. I will be complimenting Ted Leonsis. I will be complimenting Zach Leonsis. He probably deserves a cascade of compliments, too.
Shout out to Zach.
They are doing good things at Capital One Arena. We're going to ask you what's on your list of things that you would like to see. Olympics kind of had the soft out-of-town preview last night. Like, it's a soft opening. It's not the hard opening. It's a soft opening.
Right. It's weird. And then you wake up this morning to all these tweets of everything live, except for NBC doesn't believe in that. So the only way to watch the opening ceremonies in America is tonight, even though they are complete.
But there was an event last night, and I'm told that the event mattered, but then after it didn't go well, I'm told it didn't matter. I don't know. We're going to talk some Olympics in the 11 o'clock hour. First couple things I want to get through with you. You were at the Celtics-Wizards game last night.
I was.
Got a nice seat for that. I want to talk that. But let's go through the trade deadline. If you haven't, the Wizards made a small move, Craig. And this is the kind of thing that people roll their eyes and scoff because of Ernie Grunfeld's history. I actually think it was a smart little thing that they did. They ship Sheldon Mack to Atlanta, who promptly waived him after 17 seconds. The instant he was in the door, they said bye. For a heavily protected second-round pick, that's not the appeal. The appeal was to get Mack off the books, so in case one of these guys on a buyout situation shakes free, the same way Will Bynum did years ago, Drew Gooden did years ago, last year Brandon Jennings did, a small little thing that doesn't put you over the top, but can help the Wizards with an influx of life and energy down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some guys that I definitely have my eye on for them. You know, Tyreke Evans was someone that the Wizards were in on trying to get for a trade. They didn't wind up wanting to give a first-round pick. Smart move. Do not give up a first-round pick for Tyreke Evans.
Right.
But a couple of seconds, Memphis wasn't willing to do it, and they now probably buy him out. He could be available. Guy off the bench. Same thing for Joe Johnson. Marco Bellinelli could be this year's Bojan Bogdanovic.
That's the one I've kind of got circled as reasonable. Yeah.
There's a couple of guys out there that, sure, are you going to be the number one destination for buyout guys? Not necessarily, because Cleveland and Golden State are in the buyout market. And if you're a
Boston
guy,
might be too.
Yeah, if you're a guy who's going to be making minimum salary, you'd rather go somewhere where you're going to be a championship contender, and those places are higher than Washington on the list. However, this is not a bad destination to be, and they certainly should, I think, target a guy and go after him heavy. And you need the roster spot to do that. This move was smart.
So there are a number of small moves that happened around the league. Elfrid Payton for a second rounder was surprised that the value was that low, but whatever. Emmanuel Mudiay, a guy that was once a big-time prospect for Denver, gets shipped again for a bag of donuts, etc. But the major things that happened yesterday, Cleveland is different than they were 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
Nobody saw this coming. We had Tim Bontemps on the show yesterday, who I love. Just is so locked in, knows the association as good
listening.
As anybody.
This was quite funny.
He's terrific. Well, and I'm not picking on him because nobody saw this coming.
Everybody, he picked on himself. He said, I'm probably going to look dumb because there's nothing that's brewing right now. Nothing's going to happen.
Everybody kind of went, yeah, this is going to be quiet, and here are the reasons why the league is set up this way. It's kind of reaction to the salary cap going up a couple years ago. Who cares? Cleveland traded. Basically, here's what they did. Kobe Altman, their GM, walked into the room. All the players were assembled. This is not actually what happened, but bear with me. And he goes, okay, If you're old, raise your hand. A bunch of guys raise their hand. And he said, okay, you guys slide over here. If you're slow, raise your hand. A couple other guys raise their hand. You guys get on that side of the room.
If you're 5'8 and everyone hates you, Isaiah, you're over there too.
And if you're kind of injured and have turned into a malcontent, go over there. Now, seven guys went over there. Those guys are all gone. LeBron's buddies, the core of the team, everybody that kind of the way that they'd built, all shipped out. So to recap all these moves, again, this is some stunning stuff. Dwayne Wade, his best buddy, they're BFF totes, man. They hang out in the offseason, they vacation together, they're buds, shipped out. So that move maybe stunned me as much as any of the other ones. Then you had Cleveland trading in a menage, a little three-way situation with Sacramento and Utah. I don't know what Utah's doing, by the way. But they picked up George Hill, the point guard that they needed, that they thought
absolutely
Derrick Rose was going to be. Then you get Rodney Hood, who I think should start for them. Now, people are talking about him coming off the bench behind J.R. Smith. Rodney Hood, please.
He and J.R. are interchangeable to me, but who cares about the minutia?
So they move on from Jay Crowder, from Derrick Rose. That era is over. Then you've got Cleveland, the biggest one of the day, because this is the headliner. Couple years now, you've got Kyrie Irving for Isaiah Thomas at one point. Well, Kyrie Irving is gone. You ship a first-round pick, Isaiah Thomas, Channing Frye, to the Lakers, basically doing the Lakers an enormous favor.
Yeah.
Clearing salary cap space so they can make a pursuit for guys like LeBron James, Paul George, and others, for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance, probably a guy that's going to see a ton of minutes for them. Clarkson, some scoring off the bench because he's excellent at that. So Cleveland overnight ships off a bunch of guys, a first-round pick. They still have Brooklyn's in the top, probably a lottery pick. And they got themselves, to me, more athletic, better on defense, an injection of life to surround LeBron James.
I love what Cleveland did yesterday because it's the exact thing that you said at the end there. It's the injection of life for a roster and a locker room and an organization that could not have been more dead except for the parts where I guess they were still actively dying from the inside. Maybe they were dead and rotting from the inside. It was bad. They had no athleticism to go with LeBron, who still in year 15 is as good of an athlete
He's
as
incredible.
There is in the league. So you get a bunch of guys. You get some guys that can create their own shots. He has not played with a Larry Nance type since, I don't know.
Since when?
Birdman in Miami, who was like a dive to the rim and jump high guy. But even Birdman's got nothing on the athleticism that Nance has. So you have a much more versatile roster that now. Look, they're not Golden State, but nobody's Golden State. Golden State has like four of the top 12 players in the league. That's not possible to be Golden State. But they are much better suited to get out of the East now, and they are also better set up long-term. And the last thing I'll say is this. The Lakers element of, they freed up the Lakers to go get LeBron. If LeBron wants to go to the Lakers, they're going to figure it out.
Well, of course. Everyone would.
So, like,
yeah,
does it make
right.
it easier? Sure. But if LeBron goes to the Lakers, it wasn't because they made this trade.
So if that was the only domino that fell, you would have gone, I'm not sure what Cleveland's doing exactly, because at one point you had Kyrie Irving and two first-round picks. Now you've got nobody and one first-round pick. You're worse off. But when you look at it in the totality of all the moves, Cleveland revamped themselves.
Addition by subtraction, too, because the Isaiah thing was a mess.
It was Britney Spears toxic. I will go to this, though, that I thought was, there's a narrative that Cleveland just is spinning their wheels and isn't better. I go, no. They're better for this year. They're also better set up in the future in case LeBron does bolt. And then beyond that, you make special rules. Like for the Wizards, and this relates to them for a second, when you are in a spot where there's a ceiling, you're not better than Boston, you're not better than Toronto, not better than Cleveland. I don't think they're better than Miami when Miami's healthy, but that's my own little weird thing. You're probably in the pool with Milwaukee and a couple other teams. You're not getting out of the East this year. You don't make a move to get a fraction of an inch closer to the ceiling and sacrifice your long-term. I thought they were smart with what they did. I was worried they were going to do something else. If you have LeBron James on your roster, I think long-term planning and worrying about future stuff, I think you have to stop doing that. You have a window with the best player on the planet. You got special rules to me. I don't think you worry necessarily about, it might affect their 2022 cap flexibility.
Yeah.
F that noise. That's the best player on the planet. Make him happy. And I don't like the guy. I root against him because I find it unbelievably irritating, but he's worth it. He's worth the headache every time.
Yeah. The one thing I will say is I think they did well to not give up the one piece that can change their ceiling, which is the Nets pick, which could fall anywhere between 1 and 8 basically right now because the Nets are at the bottom of the league with about 4 other teams. So you get that still, and you can still trade it on draft night. So if all of a sudden LeBron's saying like, hey, look, I'm considering staying, but you better make a move and Kevin Love and a draft pick can get you whoever the next disgruntled NBA superstar is, then you do that. But there wasn't that guy available right now. and especially with Boogie Cousins. I mean, the Pelicans were going to trade him because they started to play well, but now he's hurt. There's no real superstar out there to get. The closest guy was DeAndre Jordan, and frankly, I'm not giving that up for DeAndre Jordan
because
DeAndre Jordan's getting played off the floor against Golden State. If your concern is winning a title this year, DeAndre Jordan, who's a good player, isn't helping you that much.
Let's quickly hit on Wizards Celtics last night. You got got an in-arena seat. I, of course, was at home. This is what it's like to be a fan of the Washington Wizards. Tantalizingly close to success, dealing with opposing fans in the arena, and that sound, I hate it the way it looks on television, that Boston fans feel so comfortable, feel so emboldened. A win, despite their own kind of 22 turnovers, just punting the ball
they
away.
They could not catch the ball last night.
The hatred
it was
of catching
unreal.
The ball. Despite all that, 3 seconds left, you've got it, they don't have a timeout, whatever the hell. Of course they lost that game. That's what being a Wizards fan is. It's Michael Ruffin, no, this is impossible, throwing the ball into the rafters, and Maurice Peterson catches it, nails a three. It's crippling, heartbreaking, exasperating losses. And there's a futility to it because you know there's a ceiling. God bleeping bleep.
Yeah, that was the Markieff Morris foul at the end. I thought it was a foul in live action. I was talking to Pete this morning, being in the arena, didn't get a good replay. He said there was no foul. I trust Pete.
The initial, as the elevation happens, there's no contact. Initially, though, he hit him on the arm. I mean,
did he? Okay. Well, then I never got a good replay look.
Yeah.
And as a shooter, if you are even a pickup player, you know if you're loading up for a shot and you get hit just a little bit, that totally throws you off.
Yeah, so of course.
It's a foul.
Because different rules on jump shots than going to the rim. There's more contact allowed in the different spots.
Right, yeah. And so it's just a stupid foul by Morris in that case, and you can't do that there. Kyrie, cold-blooded, of course, not bothered by anything, even facts like the world is round. He steps to the line, knocks down 3 free throws. And then Beal, he's got to get a better shot there. And the other thing, too, is in overtime, he was dead.
Yeah.
That's where you miss
40,
John.
43, 48 minutes now. He was exhausted. Early, he was cooking, and he basically missed. He went one for his last 15.
He couldn't get his shots off. He got a little trigger shy because he knew his legs were dead. And then he goes for the killer dunk and misses that, where he thought he got fouled by Horford. Has a wide open three in the next possession, misses that. So it's a bummer because he couldn't get his footing on that final shot in regulation. And you've seen him so many times at least get a quality shot off, even if he misses it. Doesn't even get the shot there. As he's basically, they're lucky, frankly, he didn't get called for a walk. Brad Stevens calls it. That would have been more Wizards.
Yeah,
they call for a walk with 0.4 seconds left. Brad Stevens calls timeout, gets some amazing out-of-bounds play that results in a wide-open layup.
And some
so at least
I
they didn't do that,
it.
Danny.
Yeah, I suppose. That is Craig Hoffman. He is in today. All next week as Grant is getting hitched. Well-deserved time off for my pal. Andrew Sharp joins us at 11. Next, Jimmy Garoppolo got paid. And I'm not talking about, congratulations, here's some money. He's the highest paid player in NFL history. Jimmy Garoppolo, the guy with 7 career starts. Jimmy Garoppolo, can you win paying a quarterback that much? That's a 10-18 on 106.7 The Fan. Hey, it's still Danny Ruggie. I want to tell you guys about my friends at Chapel Hill Farm. I am so excited about this partnership. I love these guys and what they're doing. As you know, I've lost some weight over the last year plus. Nobody cares about that. But you want to eat healthy. The hardest thing to do is find stuff that tastes great and fits your diet plan. Enter Chapel Hill Farm. They have a breed of cow called the Randall Lineback. Grass-fed, free-range, humane treatment, all pasture all the time. No harmful antibiotics, no steroids, no added growth hormones. The best meat I've ever tasted, and it's incredible for you. It's incredible for you. Lineback.com. Use my promo code Danny and get free shipping. You got to go check out what they're doing. I cannot recommend them enough. It's linebacks.com, promo code Danny. You get free shipping. It's a good day to be a very handsome mid-20s NFL quarterback who lives in San Francisco now, named Jimmy Garoppolo. Not Garoppolo, don't make that mistake. Welcome back to the show. It's Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Grant out, Craig in for today, and the rest of next week as Grant gets himself hitched. Congratulations to him. We'll all be heading to that wedding ceremony mañana. It's aggressively Catholic. Just if you're not aware of it, guys, it's an hour plus. Sitting, standing, kneeling, bending. A lot of forgiveness, a lot of guilt comes with it, but it's going to be a blast. Can't wait for that. So Craig is in. Craig, I want to talk about this. This is the fundamental debate, and folks know, that we've had on the Cousins front for so long here. And I know some folks are just so tired of it and their eyes roll.
But so do you want to do some more braggadociousness, or did you get that out of your system yesterday?
I got it out of my system. Because just keep in mind, I wasn't saying about who you should or should. Just remember this. This is what it costs. People deny that this is what it costs. This is what it costs. The quarterback market is this.
Being right's fun.
People who think that it's not were incorrect. I was right. Grant was right. This is a basic fundamental thing. Everyone should always remember that and apologize. No one's going to, but just remember that. So anyway, but the core philosophy was you can't pay fill in the blank anybody that's not named Brady, Rodgers, Breeze a huge amount of money like this, like Garoppolo got. And he's going to, it's the reports are varying. I've seen as much as $90 million guaranteed. I've seen 74. Point is, the richest, biggest contract in NFL history is Jimmy Garoppolo's, the most money. 27.5 annual average value on this deal. Again, some of the breakdowns are, it's irrelevant. The point is, 15%+ of the salary cap, a huge amount is going to Jimmy Garoppolo. The core philosophy of, you can't pay anybody not named those three guys, Breeze, Brady, and Rodgers, that, and still win. That's not a terrible philosophy. I don't get angry when people say that. It makes sense to me. I understand. That's why you want a good value if you can get it. That's in any sport, any position, any job, any field, any walk of life. Is San Francisco doomed because they did this? Can you win paying a quarterback this much, ultimately, is the question. When it came to Kirk Cousins, a lot of people would say no. Other people who are like me and look at the Redskins' history of mediocre to crappy quarterbacks for so long said, I never want to ride that carousel again. If you've got one, I don't care what it costs. Just do it. I'd like to be relevant. Can San Francisco win because they're paying this guy that much?
Of course they can. You know how you win in sports? You have good players. You know what good players cost? Lots of money. You know how else you win in sports? You get right on draft picks that are cheap because systematically, when labor contracts are negotiated, you want to know who's not represented in those negotiations? Rookies. So they get the short end of the stick, whether it's in the NBA, the NFL, whatever. They always are going to be paid the least. So you need to draft well so you can have good talent cheap. But you are also going to have some established players. And why not spend more money at the most important position in pro sports? That seems like a good place to invest. Is it a lot of money to invest? Sure. Are you going to have to be right in other places? Yes. But those things are true whether that number is 27 or 24.
That's my biggest point on this. Is I don't care if you pay your quarterback a dollar or $50 million. What you just said is the most important thing.
Nailed it.
You've got to be right everywhere else. I don't care. Again, I don't. Of course you want to get your quarterback right. If you can get a value, you can get Russell Wilson on his rookie deal as opposed to Russell Wilson on a free agent deal, you're better off. Seattle has lost players, and they've started to miss on guys. Whereas in the past, it's, yep, of course Cam Chancellor's a star. Of course Bobby Wagner's a star. Of course the guy they picked up off the scrap heap is a star. Of course Earl Thomas is a star. Fifth-round cornerbacks turns into Pro Bowler. Rinse, wash, repeat. They started to miss on guys, not because they paid Russell Wilson or they 9-7 and bad on offense at home.
Because their offensive line's terrible.
Their offensive line's terrible because, again, they missed on guys. That's where they decided, we've invested here. You've got to shore up the dam in other places. No matter who you pay or how you pay them, if it's a playmaking wide receiver, if it's in Minnesota, it's Adrian Peterson for years, if the highest paid guy is a defensive lineman, whatever it is, you have to nail a high percentage of draft picks, bargain free agents, and the like. All it is like it's like a car. When you go to buy a car, which you've done recently,
yes,
there's a balloon. There's one of those balloon animals, like Vince Vaughn when it crashes. I'm gonna build you a bicycle, even though I don't want to. Like, you know, that whole he's got a big a balloon. If you squeeze one end where you're gonna save there, the air is going somewhere else. Everybody's dealing with the same.
Who do we consider the best teams in the NFL right now?
New England, Patriots, Pittsburgh.
Patriots are like weirdos. They don't count. You don't think Pittsburgh's paid Ben?
They paid a bunch of guys.
Like, they paid Le'Veon Bell a ton of money last year. He was on the franchise tag. That is as Redskins fans well know, that's a hefty amount for one player, no matter what position it is. Jacksonville spent a boatload of money in free agency. They also spent a number 3 overall pick on a quarterback. Now, that quarterback turned out not to be very good, but they also are very, very good because they spent a number 5 overall pick on Jalen Ramsey, and he's a stud. On the other corner, though, A.J. Bouye, they paid him.
Yep.
You know, you're going to have to spend money somewhere.
In Pittsburgh, it's funny you bring that up because Kirk, when we did our 2-hour sit-down with him at Jam and Java.
I know. I was there.
Yeah, he had that at the ready. He mentioned Pittsburgh, and I was like, really? Let me look at that. They've paid Ben. They've paid Brown. They've paid Stephon Tuitt. I couldn't have pulled that, but they did. They paid him. They paid Cameron Hayward. They paid David DeCastro. They paid Marquise Pouncey. Point is, they paid guys.
Yeah.
They paid some of their own guys. So what it means is the down ballot guys, the down roster guys, you have to nail. I don't care who you are. You've got to nail those things. You need to treat, and Grant and I argue about this all the time, you need to treat free agency as a necessary fix. You can't major in free agency because it's cost prohibitive. In other words, the Redskins in years past, when they would chuck away draft picks like they were, you know, rotten ears of corn that they were shucking. I don't know why I said shuck, but whatever, that's where we're at. You go, okay, every one of those means you've lost the ability to have young, controllable talent. You've got to go fix that in free agency. You've got to pay more for a veteran. It's the nature of a salary cap sport. Every time you swing and miss at a Cliff Russell or a Taylor Jacobs or any of these receivers that didn't work out, you've got to go pay Roy Dell Williams. You've got to go pay Joey Galloway. Those are mistakes that you're rectifying. No matter what you do, you've got to nail the draft. So my question, sounds like we're in lockstep here. I want to know on the phones, 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Let's open up to you guys. Because Craig and I sound like we're speaking the same language here. I want to know from you all, can you win paying a quarterback this much?
That would have been a better tease if you did that in Spanish. Because we are speaking the same language.
I wish I could almost do it. Can you win paying a quarterback as much as San Francisco is going to pay Jimmy Garoppolo? We know you can win if you pay Aaron Rodgers that because they win every year. Drew Brees has been making that percentage for a while, and they finally won this year because they got Alvin Kamara and Marcus Lattimore. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Or is it Marshawn Lattimore? Which Lattimore is it?
No, that's true. They have Marshawn Lattimore.
Marshawn Lattimore?
Marcus Lattimore was the running back out of South Carolina whose knee exploded, which sucks because he's a great dude and was an exceptional college
football. So it's Marshawn Lattimore, the quarterback.
Marshawn Lattimore is the guy that Josh Doctson was all over and then got injured, and then he came back and was like, I'm awesome again.
This is my weakness. This is the thing. If there's already a guy with the same last name.
Multiple Lattimores.
And the same first letter of her first name.
Down goes Danny!
I just can't do it. Ben and Bob McAdoo, I never get it right. Anyway, so let's do this. 800-636-1067. Pretty simple question. Can you win? Can you build a roster paying a quarterback as much as San Francisco just paid Jimmy Garoppolo? Andrew Sharp joins us at 11, talk NBA trade deadline. Your call's next, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's hard. It's not easy to be good in the NFL. It's easy to be just okay, I think. I think it's easy to climb out of the terrible bucket. You can be a little bit desperate. You can sacrifice some depth. You can be in some games. You can be basically, to me, what the Redskins have been the last few years. You can just be okay. I think it's easy to be okay. Easy is the wrong word. Relatively easy to be okay.
Say, tell that to the Browns.
I think it's hard to be as bad as the Browns have been for as long as they've been. You almost have to try.
Yeah.
And B, it's hard to be great. It's really, really hard to be great. We all want great. That's what we're all trying to do. That's why the debates happen. It's why we argue. It's why we can't decide on the best course of action. We haven't been great in 26 years. How do we get back to being great, even if it's just once we stub our toe into it? The philosophies have changed because things that have been tried in Ashburn simply haven't worked. They've been ineffective. How do you get great? Can you build great by spending a huge percentage on a quarterback that isn't one of these Hall of Famers? If you've got a Hall of Famer quarterback, I think the rules of a franchise building don't apply to you because you're going to compete every year. I mean, unless you're New Orleans, when their salary cap was, they weren't bad because Drew Brees made money. They were bad because they were still paying Junior Gallette $12 million 2 years after he wasn't playing for them. They were bad because they mismanaged their resources, got free agents wrong, got draft picks wrong, missed and missed and missed and missed. You finally hit a couple, just a couple, by the way. Now New Orleans is a 12-win team. Is Drew Brees all of a sudden not killing their cap? How did that work? He did less this year, by the way, than he has in half a decade. 800-636-1067. You heard how Craig feels. You heard how I feel. I think you can. I think no matter what, you have a quarterback. You have a guy that makes a dollar minimum wage or a guy that makes $27.5, as San Francisco does. You've just got to be really, really good everywhere else. You've got to figure out and get talent evaluation right. That's the key to this thing. That's the key to unlocking it. Let's go to Mike and Alexandria first up on this. Mike, can you be good in the NFL? Can you compete building a team by paying someone as much as the 49ers are paying Jimmy Garoppolo?
I believe that you can, but it all goes back to two things. One, scouting, and anybody can hit on first and second rounders. It's when you get the undrafted free agents who you've developed over a couple of years and become competent starters, not necessarily Pro Bowlers, but competent starters. And also, when you have guys that you pick up in the first, second, third round, do you identify who are going to be great players? You don't wait until the last year of their rookie deal to extend them. You extend them kind of right before they hit that breakout season.
Self-scouting, self-evaluation. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, those are both really good points. The self-scouting part is how you get value in this league, and it's where the Redskins whiffed the biggest on Kirk Cousins, is you get him before he hits the open market. You don't save money in an open market. You save money by preventing someone from getting to the open market. So for right now, for instance, the Redskins are looking at guys like Jamison Crowder, who might get an extension this offseason. Morgan Moses already got his for probably less than he would have gotten on a true open market, depending on how their final season of their rookie contracts go. You try to get it before they are superstars, and a guy like Crowder could get more consistent. The other thing is, like, there's being right on a first-round pick, then there's what the Saints were with Marshawn Lattimore, right? You get someone in the 20s who, or the teens, or the late teens, 20s, who turns into a Pro Bowl talent. You need high-end talent to win. You need stars to win. And if you can turn your first-round picks not into just starters but stars and then get an Alvin Kamara who, you know, you get the third-rounder turns into a star, then you're really talking.
So you look at some of the highest-paid guys, and listen, Aaron Rodgers is going to sign an extension to blow right past this. Matt Ryan will probably go right past this and other guys I'm not thinking of. But were the Oakland Raiders bad this year because Derek Carr signed that extension?
No, they're bad because he got hurt.
Well, yes. Yes. But he wasn't hurt the whole year. Right.
Right. I mean,
they weren't playing well when he was with them.
Right. And other guys who they thought were good did not have good years. Like Amari Cooper did not have an Amari Cooper year. Crabtree wasn't as good for them. Marshawn seems to have hit a wall. Their line play wasn't as good. Like, eventually, the thing is, no matter how well or much someone's getting paid, like, if he plays well, you're going to win. If not, that's the calculation, is how many other guys can we pay that are going to play well. But at the end of the day, like, if you're going to invest in someone, and this is the hard part, is the projection. All right, we're going to pay this guy because we got to pay someone, and we know he's pretty good. How long is he going to be able to maintain it?
When Cam Newton signed his deal, he was at one point one of the higher paid guys in the league. He's since been superseded several times over because that's how markets work, of course, as you know. I think he signed his deal. I think they had a 15-1 season in there.
Yeah,
and they were down.
He's the MVP of the league.
They were down, not this past year, but 2 years ago now, as they kind of retooled. They decided, we're not going to keep Josh Norman. We're going to let the next wave of young draft picks kind of come in, and we're going to influx talent that way. They took their lumps, got punched in the chin. Everyone said, what the hell's wrong? Right back to it this year. Excellent defense. They know who they are on offense. They've got a little bit of a ceiling with Cam as kind of an up-and-down passer, but they know what they are. They're really good, and they're tough. They figured it out. You can win with a guy making that kind of money. Now, it helps if he's MVP caliber and runs for 755 yards. Mike in Landover, can you win paying a QB that much?
Man, you know, it's not only just about the QB either, Danny, man. It's more about the market at this stage. I think it's going to be harder for GMs to bring in not just quarterbacks, but, you know, your special need players like wide receivers, running backs. All this money is being increased for all of these players. So now you have to go back to the drawing board and say, you know what? Let me evaluate this draft. Let me try to get a Pro Bowl in the first round. Let me try to get a diamond in the rough in the third and fourth round. It's going to be, it's much harder for these general managers now to build a roster to two or three key free agents in the open market to be able to compete in this league. You're going to have somebody who's more open-minded about, you know, evaluating that talent. And then when it's time, like, when it's time to pay that talent, at the right time, give them their money before they hit the open market. Because guess what? They hit that open market, they're gone.
Mike,
and they're
going to be in the top. It's a great call. I appreciate you making it. They've done that a couple times. Chris Thompson, they paid.
Yep.
Jordan Reed, they paid.
It's why the Kendall Fuller thing is so perplexing.
Yeah.
Like, why give up that guy? And the answer is because they had to, clearly. But it's like guys like that who you get right, and it's like, oh, God, we're going to have this really, really awesome player for 3 years on a rookie deal, playing at a nearly all-pro caliber level, which is what Fuller was last year at the slot. Like, you got to take advantage of those years. You have to be right. But there's no plan. I know this is not what Mike is saying, but it's just kind of funny, the idea of like, oh, you got to go in the draft. Well, duh. What GM is going to the draft being like, we're not going to take this that seriously. If we miss, who cares?
Yeah, well.
It's just a matter, throughout the year, obviously, don't throw away your draft picks.
But that's the thing. The Redskins used to do that. And they stopped.
Right.
Since Bruce and Mike came. Now, they did make the huge trade for Robert Griffin III, obviously, where they gave up their number six overall pick. They gave up a second-round pick that year, then consecutive first-round picks. They gave away three first-rounders in the process of moving up to get their quarterback. But for the most part, they've been more judicious about acquiring picks. They've been better at that. Early in the mid-2000s, Joe Gibbs didn't care. Traded second. We're going to get rid of Clinton. We're going to get rid of Champ Bailey. Here's a second rounder, Denver, just for your trouble, just for fielding the phone call. Mark Brunell, sure, take a second rounder for a guy that's 277 years old that can't throw the ball 40 yards in the air anymore. The giving up draft picks of Brandon Lloyd, TJ Duckett. I mean, the list goes on and on, and they're all, each move is worse than the last. They've stopped doing that to a degree. So, of course, they value the draft in that way, but it's ultimately, you've also got to be able to layer to the point that you can let guys walk.
Right.
Right.
Honestly, at corner, like, that's kind of what they're doing with Breland.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Malcolm Butler a little bit later and whether the Redskins should explore the potential of him, but preview, I don't think they need to. Like, even with the Fuller trade, they're in good shape at corner. So they've done well at certain positions in recent years. It's just a matter of, can you get that depth at multiple positions? And where the Redskins lack the most right now is actually not depth. It's top-end talent. You need playmakers in multiple spots, and that's where they, when you trade away, for instance, your first-round picks, or even when you keep them and take a guard, with all due respect to Brandon Scherff, who's terrific.
Guard.
He's a guard. There's no such thing as a playmaking guard.
Chris and Prince Frederick, last word on this.
Hey, gentlemen. Fundamentally, yes, you can win with paying a quarterback top-end money. But I think if you look at what Oakland just did in paying John Gruden $10 million a year, your money should be allocated towards great coaching and great general managers. And that's something that the Redskins, to bring it back to us, something that we lack. Do we have a great coach in Jay? Maybe. I think he's kind of middle of the road here. But if you look at the front office, it's absolutely miserable. In order to have and build that depth, you have to have good coaching, and you have to hit and – your draft along with free agents. If you look at Jacksonville, they brought in Coughlin. I mean, that's where you can't, that is not capped. That has to be where we spend our money. And instead, we just have the clowns running the organization right now.
Appreciate the call, man. Thank you very much for making it. Andrew Sharp joins us at 11. Go through all the things that happened yesterday. Basically, Cleveland just transforming themselves overnight right back into a contender. 5 minutes from now, Craig bought a car.
I did.
Craig went and got a car. The hardest thing that everybody has to do, 800-636-1067. It's Grant and Danny on the Fan. You're tuned in to the Grant and Danny radio program. We appreciate you doing so. No, Grant, Craig. Instead of Grant, we have Craig. I am Danny. This is the Grant and Danny show. Dar and Thommy, I want you guys to have your weigh-in hats on. It's not a Thom theory segment, by the way, Thom. This is just normal weigh-in stuff here in a second. Craig bought a car yesterday. And I, as you know, am a big Ted Britt Ford proponent.
So I've heard.
I love those guys. They're awesome. They make car buying so, so simple and easy. But it's still, even though it's easy, it still takes, like, there's a lot of things you have to sign. There's a lot of stuff you have to do.
There's a lot of paperwork.
There's just a lot of paperwork. So I knew that, like, when I bought a house, I could tell you the name. I wrote my name and the date 7,000 times on various forms. It was like, congratulations, you've agreed to be in debt for so many years. And I don't know why it's better, but it is. What's the thing, and I want each of you guys to weigh in, that everybody has to deal with? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're a part of our society, you do this.
Yeah.
That's the most arduous or whatever the heck it is. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's got to deal with it, but it's just such a pain.
Insurance is extraordinarily high on the list. Because it's a pain in the butt to get, but it's arguably a bigger pain in the butt to use. Like, if all of a sudden you have to actually use, you know, something gets, I had some property stolen. And it's like, all right, I got to call this. And it's like, you have something bad happen to you, and then you have extra paperwork to make it not as terrible. So insurance, very high on the list. And also, there's 800 million options for insurance. Like, when we just got the buyout from CBS to Entercom, so we have to go through the whole benefits package again. And, like, thankful for the benefits, better to have them than not. But how many different forms of insurance do I need? And where is the class I was supposed to take on which boxes I was supposed to check?
You've stumbled into something that is my pet issue. Like, if I had an issue as a pet, this would be it. It's the outrageous price of colleges in these United States and how ill-prepared I am to deal with so many adult life things because I wasn't taught them there.
Including paying the debt back for the college.
Yes, I'm glad I took geology. Thanks again, the George Washington University.
Really, the science of rocks.
Really, igneous and sedimentary. Let me know when it comes in handy.
By the way, sidebar. One of my favorite classes in college, for the sole purpose of the professor, was geology because my professor sounded like Tim Kirkchin.
History of rocks, this has never happened.
That's a lot of fun. Study of pressure and time over thousands of years. And a quartz happened. I don't care. I never use it. There's 90% of the things I never use. And we paid so much money. You stumbled into something that I care a lot about. Dar, what is your thing?
Well, I would like to agree with insurance because I'm still not sure if I have it or not. So I can't log in on the website. I got a card. I have four cards.
I just got so many cards in the
mail.
I just need one card. Just please. It's insurance. It's not even close.
You got to have dental and eye and health and this. And
I have pet insurance. What do I... My dog
pet?
Is
okay. You
yeah,
do have a pet.
I mean,
pet
my
lease.
Dog. I can't cancel it though. It's like $15 a month, and I've never used it. It's not good anywhere, and it's only for catastrophic injuries. But I can't cancel it because I signed up one time 3 years ago, and now I can't get rid
Did
of it.
Did you sign up like on the street with some guy that was like waving a flag about insurance policies?
Is that
something?
In the Mercer Marketplace? Because if it
might
is.
Be.
And yes.
Danny, this
Tell
leads
me what's yours.
This leads me to mine.
Yep.
My most arduous thing I have to do is deal with Brendan Dar. Because because I told him
Whatever it has to do with.
I told him a long time ago to cancel that pet insurance and not sign up for it because pet insurance is bad for everyone involved. The only thing it helps are the people that are insuring your pet.
Mm.
So no, but in all seriousness.
It is Brendan Dar.
It's not.
Please just show me where to cancel it.
It's not buying a house. It's looking for a house.
Oh, yeah.
Where once I found the house that I'm in now, it was very easy.
The thumb pound, Craig, if you don't know.
The decision was made very quickly. We signed up for it, whatever. That was the easiest part. It was the 2 to 3 months before of riding around in the realtor's car, taking us to neighborhoods. Let me tell you about this place. Now, telling me about things I don't care about. School districts, I'm sure I'm going to have kids. You know, all these things I don't care about for every weekend for about 3 months. That's mine.
The same is true for car buying. Once you find the car, it's like, yeah, depending on where you go, if you have a good car dealer, the negotiation process is not that bad. I got really lucky. Eastern Motors was fantastic with me. Once I found the car I wanted, we got the thing done, and it was relatively painless. But figuring out which car you want and driving in the same circle to test drive, it's like, how many times can I pass this gas station in a different car? That part sucks.
So I have a number of nominees that I could give here. Dealing with cable is just the worst.
Awful.
It's the worst.
That one's the opposite of car buying because there are no options and the only option you have is terrible, but you don't have a choice.
And I, again, if someone could figure out a way for me to watch Nationals games, I will cancel my cable today. But that's the only, I basically pay hundreds of dollars a month so that I can watch the Nationals over the summer. Everywhere else, I have an outlet. I can find NBA TV for the Wizards. I can do a million different things for the Ookie for football. I could live without cable, except that Masson won't not deal with the cable company, if that makes any sense. So I'm stuck. I'm stuck until further notice. Mine that causes me the most stress, the most anxiety, the most constant irritation. Dar will laugh at me about this because he thinks it's not a big deal. I'm telling you it's a big deal. Logging into things. Simply logging into things. How much money have I earned this year? I have no idea. I can't find it. How much money am I owed? I have no idea. Is everything correct? I have no idea. How do I find out how much is in my 401k? No earthly clue how to do it. Everything changes all the time. There's constant fluctuation. What was good one day is no longer good. Your pastor has to have 17 characters that are not in the English language. They have to be Sanskrit. You have to be able to touch your nose with your eyes closed. Holy wars. At all times, just trying to get into information that I already intuitively have. Your security question. You didn't capitalize the answer originally, so right. Now you can't get in, you're locked out, and now nothing happens. I understand why it all exists for security. I understand all of it. I get it. I just know that nothing has been made easier.
And that's the security thing. It almost makes it more stressful because you go, okay, you know what? I'm just, yes, I would like you to save this password. But then you're terrified that you're going to get hacked. And all of a sudden, it's like, you're supposed to use a different password for everything, but that's not going to happen because you can only remember two of them anyway, if you're lucky. So now all of a sudden, someone's got your login to your email, but they also have your bank info, which is just great.
You don't want that.
No.
Darfur,
do you save passwords or no?
You don't. No, I do. I do when the little Google guy comes up and is like, hey, man, how's it going? Do you want to save this one? I go, yes. Well, the problem is that, to me, is almost a compounding layer of bleep because when it becomes time that no longer works, it always defaults to that one that's like three passwords ago because I saved it that time.
Yeah, but like Vanguard and different places don't change your password.
I've also never been into Vanguard because I don't know my employee number. And I put in my hire date when I've been hired. I was hired part-time, then I was hired full-time, I was hired as a contractor. I put in all those dates. None of them are true, apparently. I was there. I remember them. First time on air was December of 2009. Does that affect anybody? It doesn't.
To be fair, you also got your five-year anniversary after seven years.
7 years, Craig.
That's better late than never.
7 years. That's just, yes. Listen, I'll take 5/7 appreciation. Or 7/5, whatever the ratio is. It doesn't work out well for me. Andrew Sharp has a ratio. It works out well for him. That was a terrible transition. Point is, I know him. He's my buddy. Covers the Association for Sports Illustrated. He's joining us 11:02.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.